Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for leading us once again. For all here, if you would open a Bible, if you have one, or if you have it on a phone, tablet, whatever you may have, to the book of Philippians. We are in Philippians chapter 3 this morning, verses 12 through the end of chapter 3, verse 21. And we'll be talking this morning about the joy that comes in the journey of maturity. And we're talking not about physical maturity, we're talking about spiritual maturity, of becoming more like Christ, for that is what we were that is who we are created to become. We were predestined not just to be saved and go to heaven one day, but we were predestined to become more and more like Jesus. And that was Paul's heart's cry. If you were here last week or heard the message last week, as we looked in the first part of chapter 3, the first 11 verses, that Paul's cry was he was going to consider all those things lost that he lived for before Christ. And he wanted to know Christ, and he wanted to know the power of his resurrection, even if it meant sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings and becoming like him even in his death, so that he might one day be face to face glorified in the presence of Jesus. And so this morning we will pick up after with that theme of the joy of knowing Christ. Last week we talked about performance and earning, trying to deserve it, compared to knowing Christ and just it's already been given to us in Christ if we've trusted him as our Lord and Savior. So this morning we want to continue that discussion as the chapter, as the thought really continues on, talking today about joy in the maturity journey. So during college, Steph nannied for a family, two little girls, and the husband in the family was a movie screenwriter. And his probably most accomplished work was the movie Ronin. If you ever have seen that, Robert De Niro, it is still acclaimed today as probably the greatest car chase movie in Hollywood history. Today, you know, it's all computer graphic stuff, you know, explosions and things aren't really real, but this was like real cars, real drivers, real action without all the pumping music and all that kind of stuff. And so it's heralded today as still probably the greatest movie car chase ever. If you want to see it, it's about 4.5, 5 minutes long. Just go on YouTube and look up Ronin, R-O-N-I-N, car chase. And it's a lot of fun if you like car chase things and movies and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things as you're watching it, there's about a 2 minute part of this long car chase when they're driving through the streets of Paris. It's in the streets of Paris and they're driving against traffic. Oncoming traffic is coming this way and they're going through tunnels, they're going up roads, and they're going weaving in and out of cars as the cars are speeding towards them. They're speeding this way and it's harrowing. You see the drivers, and they've got their hands gripped on the wheel. They are literally white-knuckling it the whole way. And the one thing that you don't see is you don't see them looking side to side, looking for the scenery. They are fixed straight ahead. Their eyes are focused on nothing else but the road and the cars that are coming in their direction. They are laser-focused on what is in front of them, not distracted by anything to their left or to their right or behind them. That whole idea of being fixed ahead is what Paul transitions to when he comes and he talks now about the maturity journey, the joy of maturing in Christ. He talks about this idea that it is absolutely essential that we stay fixed on the goal, that we stay pressing on toward the prize, and the goal and the prize for which we have been called heavenward is knowing Christ and becoming like him. And if there's nothing else that we focus on, Paul is saying this is what is the most important thing to fix your eyes on, not getting distracted by the worries and the concerns and the burdens and the alternate pursuits of our lives, all these competing responsibilities, all these things that would steal a lack of hunger for God. It is a laser focus, Paul says, of staying fixed ahead in this joy of, in the journey of becoming more like Jesus. So Paul outlines this as he makes this argument to these Philippian believers who he loves so dearly as he talks about what joy is. And he gives two main concepts and then some ideas to be able to help reinforce those concepts. And the first is this: to press on toward greater maturity. If we're going to have joy in the maturity journey, it begins by pressing on toward greater maturity. Why do we do that? In verse 12, it's because Christ has taken hold of you. This is the motivation. This is the reason, because Christ has taken hold of you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, coming out of verses 10 through 11, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me." Now, Paul says that he has not yet obtained this, that he is not yet perfected in knowing Christ. It's going back to what he's saying in verses 10 through 11. Let me read them just as a refresher. He says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul is saying, I have not already obtained all that. This is my desire. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I want to become like him in his death. I want to obtain to the fullness of the resurrection from the dead. This is my goal, but I haven't fully obtained it. He's not saying, here I am, I'm perfect. He's saying, I'm on the journey too. And I appreciate that. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel really discouraged if somebody presents themselves as having it all together, as having it already worked out perfectly. They know all the ins and outs. They have no faults. They have no struggles. They have no challenges in their journey with Christ. Paul's not saying, I've already arrived. He says, I have not already obtained this yet, but this is what I want. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. It's his response, it's his motivation, is to take hold of what Christ has already accomplished for him on the cross. This really is the tension, and we'll see this come out in a few as we work through this passage together. This really is the tension of already having been made perfect in Christ in a positional sense. Before the Father in heaven, you and I are perfect. You and I have already obtained everything there is to obtain in Christ. Leah mentioned it as she prayed this morning, that it's not about our earning or our deserving. It's not about our performance. We've already been given everything in Christ, so our worth and our value have been completely established already. That's not at stake. What Paul is running after is, because Christ has taken hold of me and he has given me his perfection, he has given me everything that I need for life and for godliness, I want to now reach back and I want to take hold of everything that he has already taken hold of me for. It's the motivation for pressing on toward maturity. Because Christ has given it to us, because Christ has taken hold of it for us, we want to live in the fullness of it. And so we press on. We press on to take hold of all that Christ has taken hold of us for. He continues on in verses 13 and 14. He says, "Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We press on toward greater maturity because Christ has taken hold of you. And we press on looking forward, not behind, unless needed. Paul says, because he has not taken hold of it, he purposes to do one thing, and that is to forget what is behind. And he's referring to all of those things, all of the things that he once counted as value back in earlier in chapter 3 when he talked about in verses 4 through 6 all the reasons that he put confidence in the flesh and his performance, of being circumcised on the eighth day, of being of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of being a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, being a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. He's saying all of these things, I leave all of those things behind. The things that I once trusted in, the things that I once now have now considered all loss, I leave them behind. My old ways and the losses that it produced. And I'm straining ahead. I'm straining toward, verse 13, what is ahead. And that's the prize of complete perfection in Jesus. It's a prize that will come when we're glorified at death or when Christ returns, whichever comes first. But it's one that our goal and our drive is that we would have more and more of. That we would know Christ more and more. That we would be more like Jesus in this life. See, sometimes we think, well, I'm not going to be perfect in this life, so why try? But there's a joy in knowing as we become more like Jesus, that we become closer to what we are, what we will be one day. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience everything that Jesus has for me on this side. I'm not going to get out here into perfection. He's going to have to do that. But I want to cooperate with him, and I want to look forward, not behind, to the place where I get as close on this side of eternity as I can. That's Paul's motivation. I want to know the fullness of Christ. He's my prize. He's my goal. And so to gain this, he purposes just to look forward, not behind. It's easy to get bogged down in regret. The I should have's or I should not have. It's easy to get bogged down in shame over the things that we've been forgiven of. Sometimes we need to accept the forgiveness he's given to us. Sometimes we may even need to leave those past accomplishments behind, the things that we trusted in before. To look forward, not behind. I do want to pause for a moment because I put on the end of that, look forward, not behind, unless needed. You may, if you've been tracking with us over the last several years, you may have heard me talk about things like looking back on our lives, of grieving our losses, of allowing the wounds and the hurts of our past to be healed by the Lord, of dealing with maybe generational patterns or sins that would be a part of our family history, or dealing with past sins that are still, that would be present. Maybe even to the point of having to deal with some influence of the demonic, whatever it may be. And so it may seem like, boy, this is a contradictory message. Paul says, look forward, not behind. It may seem like a contradictory message to, we need to look back. But it isn't. If it's needed. It isn't a contradictory message if it's needed. Paul's saying that don't look back unless you need to look back. And that may sound like I'm double speaking. Don't look back unless you need to look back. And so you may be asking the question, how do I know if I need to look back? One pastor friend said it this way, and I love this quote. He said it, your past is your past unless it's affecting your present. Okay? Your past is your past unless it's affecting your present. Because if your past is affecting your present, it's your present. It's not about going and dredging up things from the past unneeded, but if there are past sins that are still affecting you today, if there is shame and guilt from the past affecting you today, if there are wounds and hurts that every time you come and you just seem like, oh, I'm making progress in Jesus, but then that thing comes up and it just derails your progress. It causes you to take a step back. If things of your past are visiting you in your present, well, it's not your past. It's your present. And so if your past is your past and nothing from it is coming back and affecting you here, there's no reason to dredge up the past. Look forward, don't look behind, keep on pressing on after Christ. But if there are things of your life that keep visiting you, whether it's cyclical patterns or habits, whether it's wounds or hurts, whether it's generational things that you see in your family, that boy, my mom, or my dad, or my grandparents, I see these things, and now it's starting to have prevalence in my life too. If it's visiting you now, then you need to visit it now. But if it's not present in your life now, don't dredge it up. I say all of that because sometimes the thing that keeps us from looking forward are the things from the past that are still visiting us today. And we want to deal with them, if so that there's nothing hindering our view of Christ, so that we can keep pressing forward in Jesus. Look forward, not behind, unless needed. And third, live up to what you already have. This theme just keeps coming up. Paul says it in various times in various ways. Verses 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. I love the confidence of Paul in Christ. He knows he's heard from the Lord. He's like this. All right, if you don't agree with me right now, that's all right. God will make it clear to you. I mean, that's some pretty big confidence, isn't it? That he knows what is true. He knows what is right. He's like, I'm not going to worry about if you disagree with me. Just wait. God will show you I'm right. Not because I'm right, because he's right. I just love that boldness that he knows he's gotten this from the Lord. It's not his opinion. It's the Lord's direction. So he says, if you're mature, take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. In verse 16, let us live up to what we have already attained. See, we accomplish this Christ-likeness, becoming more like Christ, of knowing him more by living up to what we have already attained, what has already been given to us. It's not about performing to get it. It's simply about coming closer to the level of what he's given to us. It's that same idea back to chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, of working out what he has already worked in you. Of, as he said in verse 12, we press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. There is this theme that joy comes in this maturity journey, not when I try to become something that I'm not, but when I become who I already am in Christ. This is his point all the way through. We don't need to get something that we don't have. It's about living according to what we already have been given. And so this is why things like scripture, things like prayer are so important, because as we spend time studying scripture, reading scripture, being changed by scripture, as we spend time in prayer, waiting on the Lord, talking with him, listening to him, we cultivate the presence of the Lord in our lives. And it's in his presence that we are conformed to be more like Jesus. This isn't about trying harder. This is about surrendering to the work of God the Father, to the work of Christ, and to the work of the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. It will lead us to steps of obedience, actions of repentance, where our will and our choice are combined with his power. We press on toward the goal of greater maturity in Christ because Christ has already taken hold of it for us, looking forward, not behind, unless it's needed, and living up to what we already have. I've talked to a number of people who get discouraged by this sometimes. It's like, oh, there's always more. I'm never going to arrive. What's the point? I don't know, maybe you felt like that. What's the point? If I got to just keep living up to what I've already attained, I'm never going to get there. And it can be this kind of discouraging, defeating feeling sometimes. If you're there, or even if you're not there, I would encourage you to take a little bit of a different view of this. And instead of viewing it as something that you're never going to get to view it as the gift that keeps on giving. Your maturity in Christ and what Christ has already done for you is the gift that keeps on giving. It's the gift that you just get to discover more and more and more of. I was introduced by some friends in the last year, and I've since gone again to a restaurant down in the city called Fogo de Chao. Anybody ever been there? You don't have to be ashamed if you've been there. That's a good thing. It is a Brazilian steakhouse that is an all-you-can-eat Brazilian steakhouse. And they've got this amazing salad bar that's like nothing you've ever seen. All this amazing fresh stuff, cheeses, meats, lettuce, all these different amazing vegetables. They've got these Brazilian beans and breads. And the main deal is meat upon meat upon meat that the gauchos cook over the fire, and they bring it out on these skewers, and they say, do you want this? If you say yeah, they just cut off this little slice, and you eat. First time I did it, I approached it a little bit wrong, in that I approached it on the side of gluttony a little more. I confess that today. And I didn't feel so good after that. But I learned, and the second time I went, I approached it as a joy-filled experience in which I got to savor all of the different flavors and all of the different types, not having quantity over enjoying the quality. And you pay one price, and you get the whole thing. And you take this journey of the salad bar and the breads and the meats and the cheeses and then the steaks and the chickens and all of these things brought out. And it's a joy to just be able to savor and to enjoy all these different things. It's not about something to accomplish, which is, I think, how I approached it the first time. I'm going to accomplish this thing. But when you look at it as this is a journey to be able to experience from beginning to end, it really is the gift that just keeps giving. You pay for it, and then you enjoy it. And this is what Christ has done for us. He's paid for it. He's taken hold of us. And he's simply saying, press on towards me because I've got all of it. And all of the joy that comes from knowing me is found, and you just take it day by day, step by step, season by season, and you will become more like me. And the more you become like me, the more joy there is. The more you know me, the more you know my Father, you know, the more you know the presence of the Spirit, and there is increasing joy on this maturity journey. Not about accomplishing, but just experiencing and taking hold of everything that he's already taken hold of you and I for. There's great joy in that. Amen? Second thought this morning. That is to join with others toward greater maturity. This journey is not about you only. It's not an individual thing. It's a team thing. It's a family thing. It's a partnership thing with other people. And so to do that, Paul says, verse 17, join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So as you join with others, it's very important that you identify those like-minded people in your life. Like-minded people who are on the journey as well. Paul says to join with others in this movement toward maturity, taking note of others who are living according to the same pattern that he has laid out for them. See, one of the greatest actions that we can do in this maturity journey is to be able to identify those people around us who are passionately pursuing maturity in Christ, of knowing him more and more, just as we are. Because, as I said, this journey was never meant to be taken alone. It's essential that we do it with others. Because we need, at times, accountability. I know I need accountability. Keep on going. Don't slow down. Keep going. Stay focused. There might be times when you're getting tired and you need encouragement from another brother or sister in Christ. Hey, I'm with you. Let's go. There are times when you're confused. There are times where you need clarity. There are times you need the insights of others into the scriptures, into what God is doing in your life. And so we need others to come alongside of us and speak into our lives to help us along the way. So if you haven't already, identify those like-minded people. Identify those people that are on the journey that you see so you can join with them. Friends, I do believe that this is very important for us. I believe it was very important for us during the quarantine stay-at-home times during COVID-19. The ability, when we weren't able to meet in person, the ability to pick up a phone or to text or to use Zoom or FaceTime or some other means of technology to be able to stay connected when you weren't able to stay connected face-to-face is absolutely essential. And I don't know if you've been watching statistics and things like that, but we're in the midst in our country that things are still going up, and even in our county, our caseload is going up still. It's actually going up more than it was back when we were on stay at home, going faster. Who knows where this is going to all go? But I would say this. It's very possible that we go back to a place where we may not be able to meet in person again. And if so, you are going to absolutely 100% need people that you're going to be able to journey with, even if it's not face-to-face, that you're going to need people to have encouragement, to be strengthening one another, to be spurring one another on in whatever means is afforded to us. And if you don't have, and if you have not identified those like-minded people that you can run and press on to Jesus with, now is the time. Don't wait. Be intentional. Don't expect that church meetings are always going to be able to do it. We have to be, in some ways, adults. And we have to step into this. We will supply it the much as we can, but we have to also take initiative on our own, each one of us, to be able to say, who are the people, Lord, that you are placing in my lives that are going to run the race that I can reach out to? Not waiting for somebody to reach out to me, but who is it that you want me to take that step of initiation and say, Lord, I need people to run with. I need people to look forward and to press on with Christ, to Christ with. So now more than ever is the time to identify those like-minded people that you can run with and join with towards greater maturity. Well, on this journey, as you join with others, there are going to be dissenters. And don't let those dissenters distract you. Verses 18 and 19, for as I have often been told, as I have often told you before and now say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Paul reminds them of something that they know and something that I'm sure we all know, feel, is that there are those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. People who live for self-gratification, and Paul says, are headed toward their destruction. These people tell you that focusing on Christ and becoming like Christ is a waste of time, that it's not a worthy pursuit. They may try to get you to less worthy pursuits to distract you and to pull you away from Jesus. Don't let these dissenters distract you. Don't let people bring things that will hinder you in your walk with Christ. Join with others who are on the same plane, who are like-minded, and journey with them. I do want to differentiate. There's a difference between not letting people distract you and cutting them off, cutting them out of your life. Because dissenters need Jesus too, amen? And so it's not saying, just don't talk to them at all. They still need your influence. They still need Christ's influence in their lives. So don't cut them off. It's don't let them distract you. Don't allow them to influence you. You be one who influences them. Don't let the dissenters distract. Don't avoid them. Just don't let them take your focus off of Christ. It's kind of like a horse with blinders. You've seen, if if there's a horse that is pulling a carriage and there's lots of activity around, there's lots of people around, they put the blinders on because that horse is going to be distracted side by side with all the movement, with all the activity. But if you put the blinders on, they're going to have a singular focus straight ahead. And there are going to be voices all around you, dissenters, who are going to try to distract you from following after Jesus, from knowing him, of becoming more like him in that pursuit. Stay focused. Don't let those dissenters distract you. And when Christ is your focus and there are like-minded people coming around you and supporting you, it'll help you keep focused. And lastly, as we join with others, we want to point each other toward hope in Christ. It's what Paul concludes with in verses 20 to 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Remind one another as you join with others of the great hope that is ours in Christ. As fellow travelers, remind each other regularly of the eternal hope that we have, that we are moving towards, that this earth is not our home, that we are citizens not first of this country or this earth, we are citizens of heaven. We are aliens and strangers in this present world. That one day our Savior is returning, and when he returns, he has all power to bring everything under his control. Isn't that great encouragement in a world that is so out of control? That there is a day coming when Jesus will return and everything that is out of control will be put under his control. Everything that is wrong will be made right. And that same power that he has will enable him to transform you and I completely. With all of our brokenness, with all of our struggle, so that there will not be a trace of sin, so that there will be no pain or sickness or shame or death, so that everything that is part of this out of control fallen world will be no more. Encourage each other with that hope. And sometimes that may be the greatest thing that we need when the world is going crazy. Just say, focus on Christ and focus on the hope that when he returns and makes all things right, that all of this will be past. It will be the old order and all will be made right again. For Jesus, he is our source. He's our focus. He's our hope. So point each other to him. The great classic Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, really kind of encapsulates this whole thing. As you have this character Christian who is on this pilgrimage that takes him through all these different places that are going to distract him, all these enemies that he has to vanquish. It's really a page turner. Encourage you, if you've never read it, it's a lot of fun. And with his good companions, faithful and hopeful, he vanquishes enemies before arriving at the end of his journey at the celestial city. And there's a line at the end of it that still reverberates and points us to the hope of Christ, and that is, so Christian, he passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side. Well, one day this journey will end. And if you're weary today, I want to pray blessing over you for the renewed strength to continue on this journey toward Christlikeness, of knowing him. He's our focus. He's our prize. He's our destination. And one day all that is wrong will be made right. May you find hope. May you find encouragement. May you find strength in this truth. Let's pray, and the worship team would come and lead us in a closing song. Oh, Father, like the Apostle Paul, it is the cry of our hearts. And if it isn't, I pray that it would begin to stir in us that I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection, even the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him even in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Lord, all of this that Paul desires, it's been made possible. Christ took hold of him, and he's taken hold of those who have trusted Christ. And so you've taken hold of us for this. Father, we feel the sorrow, we feel the tension. Many days we feel the weariness of not having obtained all of this yet. And so, Lord, with a singular focus of Christ, even today, just a fresh, may our eyes be fixed on Jesus. So that we might press on and take hold of that life that he has taken hold of us for. May we know it more and more. May we be encouraged by the hope that one day all that is wrong, all that makes us weary, all that makes us full of sorrow in this world will one day be no more. But today, Father, I pray encouragement over your people. I pray renewed energy and strength. I pray renewed passion and vigor for this journey. It's been wearying days, these last months especially. And so, Father, today I pray that the power of Christ would be raised up within each one by your Spirit to enable us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to press on toward him, for this is what we have been called heavenward for. Jesus, you're our prize. You're our goal. You're our great hope and desire. May we know you more. And as we know you more, may we become more like you. We love you. We thank you for the privilege of being created for this very thing. Until we are with you face to face, forever and ever and ever. Amen.
If you would please rise and join us in our closing song of worship together this morning.
Give me Jesus, you can have all this world.
Our joy, and He is our prize. To know Him and to be made like Him. That is what you were created for. If you ever wonder what's my purpose on this earth, first and foremost, that is it. To know Him and to be made like Him. And so the one who said, "Peace be with you," in His name, the name of Jesus, and in His authority, I speak over you. Peace be with you. For as the Father sent Jesus to bring the joy of knowing Christ, so He is sending you as well. Out of your knowledge of Him, go tell others and lead others to Him as well. Go in His peace and in His joy. He is your focus. He is your prize. Amen. Go in His peace.
It's a minor that makes it weird. The C sharp doesn't belong.